O Lord.
That's the importance of importunity. If you're not importune, you'll never grow. How many of you followed that? Raise your hand. What I mean by that is, it's a lot like children. We grow up like children when we grow up in God. And if there's one thing about children, it's that they know what they want. And they know when they don't have it. And they tend to keep trying things until they get it. And a lot of the same thing applies to us as Christians. That is, that we learn through the school of hard knocks a lot of times, but only the ones who keep trying and keep seeking and keep loving and keep striving and keep going deeper in God, they're the ones that finally attain their heart's desires. They're the ones that are finally satisfied in the inner man. Don't ever give up. You get discouraged, you feel a little dry. Well, I prayed yesterday and I prayed again today and nothing happened. Keep plugging, brother. Keep plugging. That's not the sermon, but that's a good point. I've entitled your sermon for tonight, Can These Bones Live? And I think a good subtitle might be The Miraculous Property of the Breath of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand and pray together that God will bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to thy name, O God. Oh, glory. Jesus, speak to your people tonight, O God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Open our ears, O God. Open our spiritual eyes, Jesus. God, open my mouth. I might speak thy word, Jesus, that thy people might be grown up into thine image. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, let it be done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you. The book is Ezekiel, and the chapter is 37. Ezekiel 37, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, that's the prophet Ezekiel, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley, which was full of dry bones, full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring you up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin was covered them, above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Hallelujah. Just want to look at this scripture for just a few minutes here. Ezekiel writes in verse 1, The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. Now, a valley is a common spiritual term. We use it in analogy to a dry place spiritually. And it's a good one because a valley is surrounded by mountains. In other words, mountains are in view, just like Christians who are in the victory are in view to us often or almost always. But the fact is, down in the valley, there's an absence of sun. The sun doesn't shine too much there because it takes it a long time to get over the mountain there, and then it's just right there, and then it goes down behind that mountain. You don't see it too much. So Ezekiel says that he was down in a valley. It was a low place. And the valley was full of bones. Now, bones are a remnant. They're disjointed portions of something that has been long dead. Something long dead. If it's recently dead, it's all stuck together. But if you've got a valley full of bones or just scattered out across there, it's been a long time since there was any life in that valley. Verse 2, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry, powder dry. Praise the Lord. Have to get on to verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now that's important, because God asked Ezekiel, Son of man, can these bones live? Now in the natural, naturally, there is positively no way in the world those bones could live. No way they could live. And yet God asked Ezekiel if they could. And Ezekiel, being a natural man, couldn't say much because he was addressing God, and so he said, Lord, thou knowest. What he meant by that is, I guess if you did it, if you would do it, Lord, they could. But I don't know that you will do it, so I'm going to say, thou knowest. Because you know whether or not you're going to do it. Ezekiel knew it was impossible. In the natural, it was impossible. Can these bones live? It was the house of Israel that God was talking about. And the house of Israel, through long years of disobedience, had fallen into decadence, and they'd gotten sick, and they'd gotten weak spiritually, until finally they went into a coma, and finally they died, and then they decayed, and they were scattered about the countryside like so many dead, dry bones. And Ezekiel stood there in that big valley, and the wind blew down across there, and it would whistle, and it sounded so lonely and mournful, and not a sound. He looked out across there, and there were bones and bones as far as the eye could see, and not a movement. They were dead. Very dry. But God wanted to know, can these bones live? I want you to know that disobedience brings death. You can't go too long walking against God before you begin to lose the pinkness of your cheeks and some of the healthy muscle that's on you begins to shed off. You begin to lose some of the truth of God. Your eyes become a little bit darkened. The longer you walk in disobedience, and the more disobedience you turn in your mind, the more you begin to lose spiritual vitality until finally you find that you just can't work for God like you used to. Until finally you get so sick you can hardly rise up, you can hardly make it to church. After a while, if you continue in disobedience, you fall into a coma, you fall into unconsciousness, where you're just hanging on to life by a thread, and finally you just slip out. You just slip out. Hebrews 3:17, with whom was he grieved 40 years? With whom was God grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? They sinned and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. It doesn't say God got mad at them. It says with whom God was grieved because they disobeyed. And continuing disobedience and unbelief, which is its brother, brings about death. So there was Israel, lonely valley, a big valley, and it was all full of Israel, scattered out, disjointed, and dead, dead as could be. So God asked, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, thou knowest, it's not within the realm of man. If it's ever done, God's going to be the one to do it. And then God says an interesting thing. In verse 4, he says, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now that's interesting, because God didn't say, I'm going to do it. Watch, here goes. Boom. God said, now Ezekiel, you prophesy. You prophesy. This is a confession of faith, brethren. You know that?
God has chosen us as co-workers with Him. And God hasn't said, now I'm going to have the last move of God here on the earth and I want all of you to sit back because here goes. God didn't say that. You know what He says, brothers? You prophesy. And you say to these bones, now hear the word of the Lord. I venture a guess that if Ezekiel had refused to prophesy, the bones never would have raised. They never would have. And you can imagine what kind of shape Ezekiel was in. Because actually, God told him to prophesy, but in reality, he was actually commanding. It was God's command that he was transmitting, and it was such an unbelievable miracle that it would probably stagger our imagination. Impossible, you know? I mean, you know how we can pray for internal disorders, but when somebody's really sick, why, it's a little harder to pray for that, you know? Well, what would you do if you were faced up with a valley full of dead bones? And we weren't talking about a single resurrection if somebody had been dead 3 hours. Now you're talking about a nation of people who've been dead a long time, and God says, prophesy to me. So Ezekiel was an obedient prophet, and he did it. He prophesied. And he prophesied to them, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And then in through verse 6, he says, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That's the prophecy he was to bring. In verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. Shaking. You know that God does a little shaking sometimes, and he begins to breathe a breath of life into us. When I first heard the Gospels, brothers, I was shaken. I didn't like what I heard, and you know why? Because there was a particular displacement that had to happen. I was full of myself, and I had to displace myself to let Jesus in. And there was some shaking going on there, see? There was shaking. But I want you to know that without shaking, there's no movement. I was talking to a brother a while back, and as a matter of fact, Zeke and I were just talking about it this evening. A lot of times, you have to get desperate before God will do something. You know that? A lot of times, you have to get so, you have to come to the end of yourself, that's all. You have to get so tired of it that you're ready to do it. I rode a horse one time that I used to work on a ranch. And one time, and this horse wasn't such a good horse, pretty new, not very willing. There came a time when we had to do it. There was a rim rock there, it was about 3 feet high, and here came the cattle, and they were all headed out toward across the county line, and we'd been riding all morning to get these cattle together, and the whole day was about ready to go. There came a time when that horse had to do something he'd never done before. And so I pushed, I was more motivated than the horse was. But when it came right down to the wire, and it was him or me, he did it. He couldn't have done it before, but he did it then. A lot of Christians are that way. God's got to back them right into a corner before they'll make the simplest proclamation of faith and before they'll step out in the simplest way. But once you do, my, you wonder why you didn't do it before, you know? Surrendering is so much easier than fighting God, I'll tell you. I think we ought to just learn to give up right off the bat. It's more blessed. So Ezekiel prophesied of the bones. He spoke faith. He spoke faith. You see, the confession of our mouths is so important. The confession of our mouths is what's going to bring us to the gates of victory and the gates of glory. Because hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it even goes for your own words. If you're ever by yourself, I do that sometimes, you know. Especially on the job. I've got a job where sometimes I'm under pressure. And, you know, I'm a plumber, just like Smith Wigglesworth. And I hope. And sometimes the water's flying all over, you know, and the lady's mad about her bill, you know, and I lost 3 tools that day, and I walk out to my truck, you know, and, you know, something just starts to churn up inside. You know what I do? I just say, well, hallelujah. Thank God. I'm still saved. I'm still moving with God. God's got His hand on me. I'm going through. I'm going to heaven. I'm in God's hand, and I'm not going to fall out. I just say, praise the Lord. And then I just straighten my mind on the Holy Ghost and just let my mind run along those blessing channels. Begin to drink of the manna, drink of the living water, and eat the manna, the bread of life. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, and it doesn't happen nearly as easily unless I begin to confess with my mouth. You know that's true?
It sparks faith in others, too. You may have noticed that. Have you ever prayed for anybody and you walk up and say, well, I've never seen God heal something like that. You know? Chances are slim they're going to get healed, especially if they're listening to you, you know? Or ye of little faith. But what I've discovered, and I testified about this before, I start to speak faith when I approach a situation. I don't care what the situation is. I begin to prophesy under the dry bones. I begin to say, well, glory, I heard you're going to get healed this morning. We're all here to pray for you, and God's going to heal you. That's wonderful. I bet you can hardly wait. Begin to think about what God's going to do, not about what God might not do, see? Well, Ezekiel took a deep breath and he prophesied, and the Bible says there was a shaking. And then the bones came together, bone to his bone. Hallelujah. Well, Scripture goes ahead. Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, Don has preached to us before about what these different things represent, the sinews and the muscle and the skin, but I want you to notice that there was no breath in them. And this is really the heart of what I'm trying to tell you. No breath in them. You see, in the Scripture, breath and wind are synonymous, often the same word, as a matter of fact, in the original languages. And in the Greek New Testament, the word pneuma, or spirit, is the same word that's used for wind. Movement of air, in other words, is the idea. And God uses that as a figure of his Holy Spirit, because it's a lot like wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it when it touches you, see? The wind does things, but it's invisible. You can hear it, but you can't really touch it, and yet it's a viable force. I mean, it really does things. It drives boats across the ocean, and it blows the leaves in the trees, see? So it's a good figure of the Spirit of God. The Scripture says that Israel, and we know that Israel is a type of the church. Matter of fact, that's what Russ was mentioning this morning, that don't look for Israel in Israel, look for Israel in the church. The sons of faithful Abraham, it says in Galatians, the born-again believers of the Israel of God. And God says that he put them together, that there was no breath in them, and they were still dead. Believe me, they were still dead. God did a wonderful miracle to get them together, but they were still dead. And the original prophecy, if you remember, was, these bones are going to live. And so, there was no breath in them, verse 8. Verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And you know, all that it took was that last breath of God. See? You get it? The wind, spirit, breath. You know, Israel's in need of that breath of God. You know, inside of all of us, there are a number of applications to this. We can apply it to the church. We can apply it to the church universal and all the bodies and all the Christians who are out there lying in decadence and decay. And we can see how God, and we see through his word in other passages, how God is going to breathe that wind upon them until life springs up in them and they stand on their feet, an exceeding great army. In another application, each one of us has dry valleys with dry bones inside. Maybe we've been saved for a while and we don't have the same joy and power we used to have. Maybe the enemy has got our feet, like Barbara said, she saw in that vision where we were trying to climb up to Jesus, but the devil had a hold of our feet. Maybe we've got some dry bones in there. Maybe we're in need of some of the wind of God to blow into that thing. You see, that's really the key. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You see, the wind of God has to blow upon us before we're going to be able to do anything for God, before we're going to have the power and joy of the Holy Ghost. The wind is the Holy Spirit, and that's the word of faith. Remember Acts 2, 1 through 4? Let me read it briefly. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. Hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. A rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. You see, the dark valleys within our souls, these areas where maybe there's been a little decay, a little bit of problem, maybe you don't have the prayer life you used to have, maybe you aren't able to witness, maybe you never have been able to witness, maybe you don't have the liberty to witness, maybe you haven't been able to pray like you wanted, maybe your family life has gone a little bit downhill, maybe you've got some problems, some frictions, a little animosity toward a brother, maybe you're having trouble believing the leadership and trusting in them. Maybe you have trouble receiving the Word of God. Maybe the services have gotten a little bit dry and old, like Brother Cal is mentioning, got a little service-itis there. Maybe these things have crept in until you know you've got a few dry bones deep down inside. And you don't really notice them so much, except that it just doesn't seem to be quite the spring in your step there used to be. Don't seem to have the same joy you used to have. You aren't able to bubble over when you witness like you used to. You know, it's like weights. The enemy's like a person who comes up and hangs weights on you. And you walk along and you start walking slower, so he catches up to you and he hangs another one on you. And the weights slow you up, and so the slower you go, the more he hangs. There has to be a time, brethren, when the wind of God breathes in. The wind of God begins to restore, and those weights get shaken off, and there's a declaration of freedom, and we stand on our feet like a mighty army. You see, it's a deliverance work. But it's interesting, and I'm glad that God laid it out like this. I'm glad that it's the wind that breathes into them and gives them the breath of life. We've got to receive from the Lord. You know, it's only the Spirit of God. We can work and wrangle in the flesh until we're blue in the face, and we can get down and we can pray and we can follow the principles, but it's got to be the Spirit. And Danny mentioned that tonight, and that's exactly what I've been feeling in myself. There comes a point where you just cry out to God, that's all. We just cry out to God for that breath of God to come breathing down, and when the breath of God breathes, brother, you know it. You know there's a refreshing and a restoring going on there. Remember a story about Smith Wigglesworth? There was a man who had been long sick, for years, as a matter of fact. He hadn't even been out of bed until he'd shrunken down. He was just skin and bones, had no strength. He could barely speak. And they prayed for him. Smith Wigglesworth prayed for him. And he began to weep. And he confessed that he had a sin in his life. He'd held some animosities. He'd held something against people. He'd gone against God and certain things. He'd harbored these things. And when he got rid of that, and began to cry out to God, they held hands, and they just began to repeat the name Jesus. 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 Six of them in the room. No hope in the natural. I'll tell you, those dry bones were very dry. But they began to whisper Jesus' name. And as they whispered, Smith Wigglesworth wrote, the Spirit of God fell, and then it lifted, and then it fell, and then it lifted, and then it fell and stayed. And the wind of God began to blow through that place, and finally the man sat up in bed and dressed himself, and he was completely whole. I'll tell you, when the wind of God begins to blow, see, when the wind of God begins to blow, there's refreshing and blessing and power. There's another situation I remember. Judy was telling, this impressed me, it impressed me. Judy was telling me about when she worked in a daycare center, and the children reflected so much the problems and the sin and all the violence and the degradation that's out in the world. It was just mirrored on them until their own actions and their own attitudes were just like little imitations of the dreadful sin and the problems that rested upon their parents. See, and they learned that from their parents. And they were nasty to each other, and they had odd fascinations with demonic things and sex, even at tiny ages, see, and they were kind of twisted and perverted, you know. What a mess to step into. But Judy said, you know, there were three or four girls that worked there, and every chance they got, they'd pray, and they couldn't talk to the kids directly. It wasn't a Christian daycare center, but they'd talk back and forth, and Judy would say, hey, Kathy, do you know God personally? And while the kiddies were taking their naps, you know, they asked a leading question, and then the other girl would say, you know, I met Jesus in such a wonderful way. And she'd tell her testimony, see, over their head. And you know what began to happen? The breath of God began to breathe across that place. And they began to see a transformation in the children. They stopped playing these funny, perverted little games they played, and they began to be more positive and free. You could see they were being set free in their spirit, see? And those balls began to rise up, and they were restored, see? And they began to see such a spirit of love and communion and happiness in those youngsters. When the Spirit of God is moving, see? When the Spirit of God is breathing, that's when the restoration takes place. You can have those sinews and muscles and skin, but we've got to have the Spirit of God breathing inside of us. I know that there are brethren and sisters among us who have got dry bones in their hearts. And when the courses of victory go forth, you know what? It's hard for them to enter into that. They want to sing it, but it's hard because there's weights. There's weights hanging on them. Dry bones. Sometimes they're conscious in our minds. We know very well what our problem is, and other times we haven't the faintest idea. All we know is that we just don't feel good spiritually. All we know is we're just moving kind of slow. But you know, there's a time when the four winds are going to blow through the valley. And when they do, they're going to blow air right into you, and you're going to spring to life. And it's going to be the Spirit of God. And I've got good news for you. How many of you have faith? Raise your hand. Every hand that went up, this is your night. This is your night. Now, if you don't have faith, you're going to continue on the same path, and things are not going to change. But if you can believe God, there's a wonderful deliverance for you, brother. There's a wonderful freedom for you, and it's a step of faith. Hallelujah. That's the sermon. That's all there is to it. My last note is breath of God. Breath of God. If it can breathe on us. If it can breathe on us. Brothers, there's no end. The restoration, the blessing, the power, and the mighty army that's going to stand on its feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gloria, why don't you come to the piano? Ask Nancy to come up. Let's sing that chorus. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let it breathe.
Goes forth, just desire that in your hearts, don't look at the vessels, don't look who's singing, what song it's going to be, but just grab the eternal truth of this song, whether you have a greater desire in your heart to be a greater soul winner for the Lord, or whether you're having problems in your family, with your wife, or with different people that you live with. Just grab the eternal truths of this song and apply them to your heart. Take something specific in your life right now. in your heart, don't just take something general, yes, I know God can do anything, but just take something specific in your heart and believe God for it and walk in it day by day.
The trees in the span of his hand, mountains were formed by his command. At that same mighty God, take a heart of stone, wash it and cleanse it and make it his own. There is nothing, no, nothing. There's nothing that my God can do.
Thank you, Jesus. Whatever that need is in your heart, the Lord God's going to change it tonight. Good to meet you.
Hallelujah.
If you can point to an area in your life where you've got some things that need the breath of God. You need a miracle. You need God to change and transform you. Strike some kind of dead end, some kind of problem. Now's the time. Now's the time. As we sing that chorus again, there's nothing my God can't do. I invite you to stand up. We'll have a little season of prayer down here. We won't end our service. But I'll invite you to stand up and come forward if you want prayer. We'll have a little deliverance time here, and God will set you completely free. Hallelujah. As we sing it, come forward. Hallelujah.
You've got to get in there and take it. You've got to march into that room and take that thing. Begin to confess with your mouth the victory of Jesus. Begin to confess that you've got it inside, that God's given it to you, and no one's going to take it away from you. Begin to let your faith blossom and march right in and take that room back. Begin to move into it. Move your furniture into it. Begin to let the devil know that he's not going to be able to have any victory in that area again. You must confess faith. You must move in and take that thing, and it'll be yours, and you can have it from this day forward. God's done the work. All we need to do is to have it for our own and retain it. Retain it. Hallelujah. Seek that high ground. Praise the Lord. God's done a good work. Amen. God's done a good work. Praise the Lord. I think maybe we should have music ministry back up on the platform. It's early yet. Time for a little praise. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. Let's sing it, Setting Me Free, this Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah.
It's setting me free, this Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free.
Silver set, and I was just amazed when we started with that thing. It looked shiny, but as we worked on it and we started to put the cream to it and just rub it a little bit, how much shinier it became. And I just, the Lord just quickened it to my mind that that's kind of the way we were. As we go from day to day, the tarnish just kind of sets in some areas, and we're not even aware of it. We don't even realize that we might grow just a little bit dim, and we might even look good compared to something else, but we're not really shining and not bright and glowing like we should be. And I'm just so glad that every now and then the Lord sees that need, and he just picks us up and he just rubs us and burnishes us and restores that shine. I'm just so glad the Lord just touched us tonight the way he did. Praise the Lord. I've been having problems for the last couple of weeks. I haven't been able to shake a few things that have been taking place in my life. And tonight when Fred was talking, he was saying that you slow down and these weights get put on you and they get put on you. And I was sitting back in my seat and I was thinking, man, I don't try to slow down. The weights just seem to get there. I can't seem to shake them. And the harder I try, the harder the weights get put on. And he said, step out on faith. And I came up tonight. I just knew the Lord was going to just set me free. And I was sitting there, I was just praying, and he just told me, he said, well, you're going to get these weights, but you carry weights and you get stronger. And I thought, oh, praise the Lord, how true. You just carry these weights, and they build you up, and they build you up, and then you shake them free, and you move on faster. I just praise the Lord tonight. I feel set free in a way that I've never felt before.
Hallelujah. Let's turn to page 108 in your hymnal. It is mine. Hallelujah. 108. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God's abiding peace is in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Yes, I feel it now. He has taken all my doubts and fears away. So I cannot tell you how. It is my mind. Let me see him change. He has given me.
Tonight I came forward at the altar call, and there have been times when I've felt enough strength in my body, you know, to try to work up a deliverance, you know, but tonight I just didn't have any strength at all. And so I had to quietly wait before the Lord, and you know, as I sought the Lord there with all my heart, you know, I couldn't enter in a great physical way. a sacred peace just began to flood my soul, and God touched me in such a wonderful way. And I felt like Jesus was just walking in our midst and just, you know, touching different ones and blessing and anointing, and that's what he did to me. And oh, it's so sacred. It's such a beautiful peace that I have in my heart. And it's a quiet deliverance that I've received. I did receive the deliverance I went forth seeking, but it's an enduring thing, and I know it's going to last. And it's so sacred that I don't even feel like doing anything. In fact, I don't even feel like singing hardly, and for me that's quite a lot to say because I love to sing, but it's just so sacred being in the presence of God in this wonderful way, and I know that I won't lose this wonderful thing that I've received from the Lord tonight. I love him for it.
I think the Lord showed me something tonight. I know he's shown us a lot of things, but as I looked at a lot of young people come up and minister, and the anointing of God upon them, and I just thought of if the Lord tarries another 5 years or another 10 years from now, and see these same young people in pulpits ministering all over the country with the fire of God upon them, with a little age and a little experience and a little of the other things behind them, and just see thousands and thousands of people being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and getting the truth of God and getting on fire for God. It's just a wonderful picture and just a vision that I know that God has given us. But tonight I can really see it. I can see what not only what's happening now, but I can see what's going to happen. And I tell you, it really does something for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Just when my life was sinking, Jesus came along with his loving hands of mercy, made my weakened body strong. Through his power I'm now rejoicing, his Spirit made this sinner new. He touched me, and he can touch you too. For he's the Prince of Salvation, he's the Master of your soul, and he's there just for the asking, to cleanse and make you whole. So if you're lost in darkness, there's a lighthouse just for you. He touched me, and he can touch you too. When the trials of life seem heavy, just remember Calvary's road. All the way he must have suffered, yet he still helps us with each load. So keep your heart door open and let Jesus walk through. He touched me, and he can touch you too. For he's the Prince of Salvation, and he's the Master of your soul, and he's there just for the asking. He will cleanse and make you whole. So if you're lost in darkness, oh, there's a lighthouse just for you. He touched me, and he will touch you too. Oh, when the trials
of life seem heavy, just remember Calvary's road. All the way he must have suffered, yet he still helps us with each load. So keep your heart door open and let Jesus walk through. He's and he can touch you too. Oh, he's a prince of salvation. Yes, he's a master of your soul. And he's there just for the asking.